Now, then there's many qualities to move on to the qualities of the Buddhist speech. Now, there's 60 qualities of Buddhist speech, but I won't give all of them. But I think this one I really like, you know, reading over the qualities of the Buddhist speech, because to me, I find it very inspiring, because just listening to the qualities, it's like a teaching to me on how I should try and train my speech. You know, because it really lists out good qualities of speech. For example, with the Buddhist speech, it everybody hears it according to their own capability. Okay? So a Buddha might say one sentence, but it'll become a different teaching for everybody. You know, for example, they say the Buddha may say all things are impermanent. And some people might think, oh, okay, then I can't get attached to my telephone because it's impermanent, it's going to break. Somebody else might think, I'm going to die. Somebody else might think about subtle impermanence and the changing nature on a very subtle level. Some people might hear that same statement and realize emptiness. So the Buddha's speech has this quality of being very flexible in its meaning so that one thing can communicate with many different beings according to how they hear it, according to their own level of mind. I think that's incredible. Yeah? Another way is that the Buddha's speech goes straight to the heart. It goes straight to the mind. And so it indicates how we can apprehend, how we can know the two truths, how we can know how things exist. So it's very forceful. It goes straight in the mind. It isn't like, like all this kind of flower garbly gook that we just don't get anything with. It goes straight in the heart. Now, that doesn't mean that for each and every one of us, each and every sentient being, every time they hear a teaching, it's going to go straight in the mind. Because we have our own karma, we have all our veils and the maze that the Buddha's speech has to fight its way through to get into our heart. Okay? But what this is saying is that from the side of the Buddha's speech, it has the potential to go straight in the heart, you know, and really make some very definite change in people's attitudes. And sometimes you'll be listening to teachings and you'll really feel that. I remember a few years ago, His Holiness was teaching Lam Rim Chenmo. It was the most extraordinary teaching. I mean, I really felt like I was in a Pure Land because the teachings just went, they really went in, very much like that. Yeah. So, you know, it has something to do with our mind, with the circumstance, but it's kind of getting at this thing that at least from the side of the Buddha, you know, the speech has that power to do that. Yeah? And we will find when we listen to teachings, you know, that sometimes one sentence is like cuts through so much junk. Yeah? So this is the power of the Buddha's teachings, the power of the Buddha's speech. Okay. Then Buddha's speech is also unstained, okay, in the sense that it's spoken on the basis of having abandoned all of the disturbing attitudes and their imprints. Now imagine being able to speak from a mind that has no more anger, ignorance, and attachment. Yeah? I mean, when you hear the Buddha's speeches unstained, this is the kind of thing to think about. What must that be like? And we can see that this is a quality that it's possible to attain. Yeah. And the Buddha's speech is sparkling clear. Okay, in other words, it never uses words or expressions that aren't known to people. Yeah. The Buddha never puts on highfalutin language to impress everybody with all the gobbledygook, thinking, oh, the Buddha must know what he's talking about because I can't understand it. You know, not like when you go to some conventions and these speakers get up and, you know, blah, 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 you know, you can't understand anything and they're supposed to be famous. So the Buddha talks at a very ordinary level, yeah, really using expressions and things that can communicate to people. And I think for us, this is a reminder to speak in ways that other people can understand. So if you're talking to a child, explain it. Explain what you're explaining in a way that that child can understand. And if you're talking to people from another culture, explain it in a way that the people from that culture can understand. You know? So what it means is developing a sensitivity to whoever is hearing what we're saying. And remembering that communication isn't just getting it out of our mouth, but it's communication is the other person getting our meaning. And so we have to be attentive how we say something to help them get our meaning. Okay, and some other qualities is the Buddha's mind is very taming. It's very pacifying. It's subduing because it allows us to tame or subdue our disturbing attitudes because it teaches us the antidotes. Okay, now imagine having the kind of voice and speech that can subdue other people's minds so that what you say, instead of inciting their anger, pacifies their anger. Yeah? So that what you say, instead of inciting their jealousy, pacifies it. Yeah? And this, again, is something we can see that we can think about and apply in our life and try and, you know, practice as best we can even now. Because all these qualities are gotten by repetition, by training. The Buddha's speech gives rise to happiness and bliss. Okay, why? Because he teaches the Four Noble Truths and shows the path to happiness and bliss. Yeah? So again, the meaning that the Buddha expresses, you know, by using his speech in that way is able to lead others to happiness and bliss. And then you look at some people, and it's like whatever they say makes everybody else uptight and nervous and a wreck. Yeah? And so you can see it's how they say it and what they say. So again, this is indicating to us, you know, to be attentive to what we say and how we say so that we can try and lead others to states of happiness and bliss through what we say. Another quality is that Buddha's speech never leaves one disappointed, okay? Because when others hear it and contemplate it and meditate on what was said, then they achieve the beneficial results that are described. Okay? So it doesn't mean that, you know, the Buddha's speech never leaves us disappointed, so, you know, every time I hear a teaching, that means I should get it and I should be happy. It doesn't mean that, okay? But it means the long-term effect of hearing the teachings, of hearing the sutras, you know, if we hear it, contemplate on it, and meditate on it, will be that we're never disappointed because, you know, we can put it into practice and it becomes meaningful for us. Buddha's speech is always clear in all details. So he doesn't speak in riddles. He doesn't hide stuff. He doesn't, you know, another word, you know, mix everything up and say there's 3 points and then only give two or give four or something like that. Yeah, in other words, it's clear. It's easy to follow. His speech is logical. In other words, it can't be undermined by our direct perception. It doesn't contradict itself in mid-statement. You know, again, you know, we can see some people, their speech, they're contradicting from one moment to that they contradict themselves, and the speech is completely illogical. And also, what they say happened, you know, from your own experience, isn't what happened. So a Buddhist speech is not like that. And again, this is indicating to us how to develop our qualities of speech. Buddhist speech is free from needless redundancy. And not going over and over and over it and getting you good and bored and, you know, everything like that. Says it has to say and goes on. His speech is like the bellowing of a god's elephant. In other words, A Buddha doesn't hesitate to speak out.
A Buddha
doesn't sit there, oh, what are people going to think about me if I say this? And, gee, I don't know if I should do that. You know
how we get tied up? A Buddha kind of knows what is, knows how to express it, and isn't hesitant and does it, you know. So I guess this is the ultimate in assertiveness training. Yeah.
A Buddha's speech is like the melodious call of the ancient song sparrow. It continues from topic to topic without break, and after it's ended, it leaves us wanting to hear it again. Yeah? Wouldn't that be nice to have that kind of speech? A Buddha's speech is also without self-conceit. So a Buddha never gets proud if the other person comes up and said, oh, it's so great what you said. You know, there's no conceit in the speech. And it's also without despair or despondency. So even if somebody else complains after a Buddha speaks, the Buddha doesn't get filled with self-doubt and regret and, you know, spiral downwards into depression. A Buddhist speech never leaves anything uncompleted because it constantly works for the benefit of others. So it's not on again, off again. It's not like, you know, I'll talk nice to you now because you're nice to me, and later on when you're nasty to me, I'm not going to talk nice to you. Yeah, it's just, you know, it has this complete working for others. Buddha speaks without feelings of inadequacy, never lacks self-confidence in what is said or to whom they say it. A Buddha's speech is exhilarating. In other words, the more a Buddha explains, the more we feel free of mental and physical fatigue and discomfort. Yeah. So it invigorates us. It's continuous. So it's not like, you know, Buddhas kind of sit and fumble for words and can't get the right word out, you know, but speaks in a very continuous manner and also teaches continuously, not just, you know, well, I'll teach now because I feel like it and I'm not going to teach later because I'm exhausted. Yeah. But just this speech that continuously, you know, whenever the situation is present and is able to teach. You know, that doesn't mean sitting down and saying there's four truths and two truths and three supreme jewels and everything like that. But it just means that everything can become a teaching, everything can become guidance to others. And the Buddha never speaks with nervousness. No, nervousness. Never nervous when he speaks. He never makes up words. I guess his grammar goofed up. And the speech is not in a rush and a jumble. Yeah, not like but kind of there's a nice even pace to it. Not nervous, not tense, and it could flow. So, you know, these qualities of, you know, the Buddha's body and the Buddha's speech, when we hear about it, it can be very effective for our mind because it gives us also some direction about how to train our body and speech, what kinds of things to try and develop. And it also can give us some confidence that there are people who actually have developed these qualities, you know, that this isn't some kind of mythical thing, but by just reflecting on our own ability and seeing how it's possible to increase it, we can also infer that there are people who have done that and there are people who have completed it, and that therefore those people are reliable.